don't like that waiting stuff. We live in the microwave world. We don't like to wait. Wait for what? I got stuff to do, people to see, places to go. What in the world am I going to sit here and wait for?
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's Isaiah 40, 31. And this is Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. The first and greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the very first thing love is supposed to be is patient. If you're having trouble waiting on God today, stay with us for a word of encouragement from Pastor Paul. You can also come see us at PastorPaul.net to hear any recent message on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. Subscribe to the podcast at Google, at Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. But right now with today's message, waiting for God to show up, here is Pastor Paul.
The Lord will be with you even while you're disillusioned, and He will remain with you even while you are in what you call a delay. I say you call it a delay. We always think God is delayed. We even sing songs. Your blessing is delayed but not denied. I got a question for you. Who told you it was delayed? You can see by now that this is not a shouting message. You're not going to dance because nobody likes what we call delays. But the question is, who told you it was a delay? You can't call it a delay because you don't have the schedule. God has the master schedule. And I've been walking with Him a long time. Some of you have too. He has never yet sent an e-blast that gives us all the master calendar. God has yet to say, today I'm going to hook all y'all up. I'm going to show you where you're going and what's going to happen at all the key points by date. God's never done it because we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, why did this delay happen? Here he is past the year that he would have expected to get out. But did you see verse 23? Look at verse 23. The chief cupbearer, the day he got back, he never did remember him for 2 full years. 2 full years. My man was so happy he got his job back. He got back to serving. Oh man, I got to do everything right. I want Pharaoh to be happy with me the rest of my life. I'm not going through that no more. And he is serving, focused on himself. He is not focused on Joseph. He didn't even think about him once he got his job back. He didn't remember for 2 full years. Why? Because in God's schedule, there is a time for everything under the heavens. There is a season for every purpose of God to be fulfilled. Sometimes we are waiting for something that isn't in this season. And you can be as frustrated as you want if you choose to be frustrated, but you need to do what Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You just got to decide, I am not going to frustrate myself over things I can't change. I am not going to frustrate myself trying to figure out what I'll never figure out. I'm just going to walk with God. I'm going to thank Him for His manifested presence that's helping me get through day by day. And I'm going to do something we don't like in modern days. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Oh, we don't like that waiting stuff. We live in the microwave world. We don't like to wait. Wait for what? I got stuff to do, people to see, places to go. What in the world am I going to sit here and wait for? It's just modern technology has messed us up. Because we think if I can get it quickly in every other area of my life, then how come God is slow? because God's operating by purpose. Technology is about efficiency. Purpose is about effectiveness. God is not into efficiency the way you want him to be. He may not come when you want him because you don't have a schedule. You think he's delayed. He's never delayed. God has never yet been late for a single appointment. In the fullness of time, he shows up. But you don't know when the fullness of time is. And there you are with your microwave mind. You're just waiting. Y'all remember? See, your great-grandmama used to cook. When she says she was cooking, she cooked. It took a while. You just waited. You didn't have any choice. I remember when microwaves first came out, the older women in the church said, "What?" Somebody said, "We want to bring a microwave in to the church kitchen." They said, "For what? We need no microwave." And then they thought, "You're bringing that poison in here and it's going to give people radiation and cancer." They just, the idea of it just messed with their heads. And so we're spoiled. When y'all say you're washing clothes, you're not washing. You are not washing. Let me just hurt your feelings to make this point. You are not washing. The machine is washing. I spent a lot of time in Grandma Henrietta's shepherd's house when I was growing up. And she had a tub and it had a wringer sitting on top of the tub. And I every now and then watch Grandma Shepherd wash, and she would wash it, and she had a washboard. And she was scrubbing stuff against this board. I just said, "What in the world is she doing?" And all that. And then she would rinse it thoroughly. And then she'd run it through this wringer. And when she got through with that, she'd take it out and hang it on a clothesline. That was washing. Y'all on a cell phone can take it anywhere you want. "Girl, I can't talk today. I'm washing." You're not washing. You're perpetrating a fraud. "It's my wash day. I'm washing." All you're doing is taking a load, putting it in a machine, throw in some detergent, shut the door, put it on the setting you want it to be on, push a button, sound starts, you walk away talking about "I'm washing." It's not our fault. Technology has us expecting everything quickly, easily, instantly. When you get through, when the machine stops, you go back in there, pull that stuff out, put it in something right next door, or some of them are on top of one another, put it in another machine, and you throw it in there. And you put in maybe some fabric softener, whatever you do, push a button, and you walk away. We're spoiled. It's just technology has us that. Y'all go to the store. You didn't have to grow the food. You didn't have to take it to the barter place. You just showed up. You drove a car to a place. Maybe you caught Uber if you don't have your own car. Or got you, somebody take you. And you went in a store, you got a cart with wheels. Let's think this through. You went down one aisle, up the other one, grabbing stuff off shelves that somebody else packaged, put together, all of that. And you got nerve to be complaining while you are, "Oh my Lord, I don't believe they want all that money for this." And when you got through going up and down them, then you got in a line. Complaining. "I don't believe." And then some of the stores try to cater to the spoiled people. They had something like 3's a crowd or 5's a crowd, meaning if there's ever more than this number of people in this line, we will open a brand new line, because God forbid you have to wait behind 5 people before you buy your cart full of stuff. And some of y'all have even loud talked the staff in the line. Y'all said you're going to open up a new line. We're spoiled. We just want it now. That's fine under other circumstances. When you get to God, God say, you're not rushing me. I know what I want to do and when I want to do it. And I know why I'm not doing it as soon as you want it done.
Up next, the rest of today's message with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor at Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. If you've never stopped by our website, PastorPaul.net, I invite you to do so today. You'll find all of Pastor Paul's recent messages on demand, plus a host of great resources at our online store, including books and DVD messages from Pastor Paul. Learn more about the ministry and about all the great things friends like you are doing through your prayers and financial support. That's PastorPaul.net. Well, if you are going through a season of waiting today, it might be because you're not quite ready for what God has in store. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message, waiting for God to show up.
Now, let's look at this case study. The reality is, the only reason Joseph got hated enough to be threatened with death, then God caused Reuben to change his mind, said, no, let's just sell him. The only reason all that happened, he goes to Egypt, and presence of God is with him, gives him favor with Pharaoh, and then Sister Potiphar tries to seduce him, he won't fall for it. She sends him and makes him a felon, and he's in jail, and now he blesses the cupbearer, and the cupbearer got back to his job and forgot all about him. The only reason all of that is happening is so you could get saved. He said, Richard, man, what my salvation got to do with this? Glad you asked. Because in the fullness of time, when God's purpose in eternity past was established to come forth, God was going to cause Pharaoh to have a dream that he could not figure out. Pharaoh got troubled. Pharaoh, he's an Egyptian Pharaoh. He doesn't know God. What does he have to do with purpose? What does your job have to do with purpose? What do your neighbors have to do with purpose? What does anything have to do with purpose? Purpose prevails over everything. And Pharaoh says, this dream is troubling me. And he one day he's sitting on his throne and just says in the hearing of his personal assistant, who is the cupbearer, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do. This dream. And then the cupbearer said, oh! 2 years later, 2 years, why would he have told Pharaoh about Joseph earlier? It wouldn't have mattered. Because think of it, why would the Pharaoh preempt the decision of one of his chief officials, Potiphar, and say, I'm going to get the guy out of jail even though I don't know why? Pharaohs don't do that. But this one had to have his own dream. It wasn't going to happen until the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, he has the dream. The cupbearer says, oh man, I forgot to tell you. There's somebody in jail. I just remembered. He interprets dreams. He told me I was going to be back working for you. Pharaoh said, well, let's get him. See? God knows what he's doing. You could be sitting there for 2 years talking about, I don't know where God is. He knows where he is. You don't have to know where he is. He knows where he is. He knows the way you take, and he knows when he's going to bring you out. In the meantime, you got to do something you don't like. Wait. And practice his presence. Let him bless you. Joseph spent 2 more years blessing people, helping people, serving people down in prison. And the Lord's presence with him kept him with a good attitude. Amen. We know that because when Joseph gets out, he doesn't come out with one intended goal, which is to get the cupbearer. Oh, see, y'all play. You know, if you are not practicing the presence of God and you helped somebody 2 years ago, and they forgot you for 2 full years, your whole reason for coming out, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get. That's not God's agenda. And so he gets himself together, presents himself to Pharaoh. His head is clear. He says, Pharaoh, I serve God. Let me know what you dreamed. Pharaoh tells him the dream. Joseph says, yes, God has shown me what that means. It means that you're going to have 7 years of enormous plenty, prosperity unreal, followed by 7 years of severe famine, the likes of which Egypt has not known. He said, and Pharaoh, you're going to need to manage well in the years of plenty so that you can provide for your people in the years of famine. Pharaoh says, well, if that's going to happen, I need somebody wise. Then he looks at Joseph, who is not an Egyptian. I want to show you the manifested presence of God. He shouldn't even be in the running for the job. He's not an Egyptian. He says, I need somebody wise to administrate this whole thing. He said, I don't have anybody in my whole kingdom as wise as you. So I am now making you second in command in a country you're not even a citizen of. That's what the manifested presence of God can do. You say, so what'd that have to do with my salvation? Because God's people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and all the other people of Israel are the ones that are going to bring Jesus to the world. They can't die in a famine or else Jesus will never get here. They're in Canaan, and the famine covered the whole region of the world. So, fast forward, you're in now the time of severe famine, and Canaan, where God's people live, they are starting to really feel it. And they're not going to be able to make it. And eventually, Jacob has to say to his sons, I heard that there is food in Egypt. Why is there food in Egypt? Because the boy, your sons, hated so much that they sent him away, is the one who has managed things so well that there's food there. Jacob says, go to Egypt. Ask them to help us. So the same dudes that sold him, thought they would never see him, came to Egypt looking for food, bowed in front of a young man who is now 39, 17 when they sold him, 22 years of being a slave and a felon. Now he's in charge in a country y'all don't expect to see him in because he's not a citizen. And they bow in front of somebody, and Joseph said, they don't even know who I am. God wants to manifest his presence in your life so strongly that you are only about fulfilling his purpose. That's all you want. I want the will of God. I'm not out to get my enemies. I'm not out to do folk. My daddy used to preach it this way. He said, God will never put your enemies at your feet. Because you know the scriptures say, God said, I'll make your enemies your footstool. He said, God will never put your enemies at your feet until you have grace to not step on them. Some of y'all, if you're not practicing the presence of God and your enemies show up bowing and hungry and you in charge of the food, well, looky, looky. Oh, look who hungry. Why you eating? Oh, look at this. Some of y'all can see just by that illustration, I'm not ready yet. God got to do more work on me. Because if I had that opportunity, for some of y'all got a list right now in your head. The following people. Joseph was so impacted emotionally, he had to run away and cry. Because all that came back. How wrong they did him. How they didn't care what happened to him. Bible says he went away and wept. But then he had to come back. And you know what happened. For a while he said, well, they told the story. And Joseph started doing some things because he wanted to see his whole family. So he wanted to see his younger brother, Benjamin. And then he wanted to make sure, of course, to see Pop. And so I don't have time to walk you through those things. Read it when you get a chance. In subsequent chapters, all he's doing is wanting to get his whole family gathered. And eventually, he's going to end up seeing his dad. And his dad is going to end up seeing his son that he thought he had lost forever. And God brought about redemption because of his manifested presence staying with Joseph in the worst time of his life. Some of you are in a bad time in your life, but I'm here to tell you, God is not finished with you. The tough times are leading you to a place. See, you got to remember, when God says, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil. Why? Because he's with me, manifested presence. His rod and staff are there to comfort me, make sure nothing happens wrong. And then he's preparing something. Some of y'all are worried about what you're going through. You need to praise God in advance for what you're going to. Oh, I'm going through something horrible, but I'm going to something amazing.
God always has a purpose for your trials and for your seasons of waiting. If you didn't go through the valley, you wouldn't be prepared to flourish on the mountaintop. Well, when God called Pastor Paul to California back in the 1980s, it was years before his new church began to really grow. It took faith, but it also took the goodness of other people, men and women who came alongside Pastor Paul to offer their prayers, encouragement, and financial support. That's how the church began to grow, and the Destined for Victory Media Ministry has grown in the same way. We're so grateful for the kindness of people like you who have stepped out in faith to pray for us and send donations when you can. And all of us at Destined for Victory want you to know that your generosity is bearing fruit all over the world. When you make a generous donation today, Pastor Paul Shepherd has a thank you gift of his own to share with you, his brand new booklet, Plenty of Questions but No Answers. If God has ever seemed distant, if he was silent at a time when you desperately needed him to speak, you'll want to contact us right away and request this outstanding resource. You'll find plenty of encouragement and direction inside these pages, along with a greater understanding of God's purposes and plan for your life. That's Plenty of Questions but No Answers, our thank you gift today by request for your generous donation to Destined for Victory. Just call us at 855-339-5500. That's 855-339-5500. Or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
How do you get God to show up? We know his omnipresence, he's with us always. But if you are in a situation, you say, I need God to like seriously show up. What are the things we can see in Scripture that tend to attract the presence of God?
You've got questions. God's Word has answers. We'll take you to them next time in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, When Pleasing God Gets You into Big Trouble. Until then, hold on to this truth. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.